Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to welcome everyone to the August 3rd, 2020 Chester Heights Borough Regular Council Meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. Tonight we have present Borough Solicitor Jerry Montella, Borough Engineer Matt Hootman, Councilpersons Laura Lim, Dave Ferksker, Natalie Anderson, Susan Clark, myself, Gina Marie Ellis, Mayor Fred Wood. Absent tonight is Councilperson Bob Adams. Moving forward on the agenda, we have first up DELCORA Act 537 plan update. Borough Sewage Enforcement Officer Mike Sioko Jr. is here to give Borough a briefing on this. Mike, can I pass this off to you?
Yeah, sure. Good evening. Good to see you all. Give me 1 second. Let me get over to my... I had sent an email, Drew, over to Sue to pass out or to send out to the board.
Yes.
And so I did the kind of a brief overview of that, but for the benefit of anybody that didn't have a chance to read it, because I just sent it out today. So DELCORA is under agreement with AQUA as of, I believe, the end of last year, that they're selling all their assets to AQUA. So it's going from a public entity to a private entity. And with that requires an Act 537 plan review and approval. From my understanding with DEP, the review and approval is required from all of the municipalities within the service area. So that's why it's in front of the borough here tonight. And it'll be in front of the plan. It should go in front of the Planning Commission as well, and then back in front of Borough Council again, probably in September or October, depending on how it takes for them to get responses to some of our questions. So in general, the concept is that DELCORA, like I said, will be sold to AQUA, a private entity or private company. The proceeds from that sale are supposed to be placed in this, they're calling it a DELCORA customer trust, that will offset, it's supposed to offset future customer bill increases. And I just have some comments on some of these things. It was kind of a very vague overview of their concepts on this. And I've been in some other meetings where DELCORA and AQUA have presented more detailed plans. I know they have more details in this, and I just think it should be put into the plan. Some of those details, and I can go through them real quick, are, what exactly is being sold. I mean, we assume it's the treatment plant and their pump station collection system, but they also own certain collection systems within, Upland Borough and Marcus Hook, things like that. Just some clarifications on what exactly they own and are selling. And then some clarification on exactly which municipalities are in those service areas. They have a map that's not entirely clear for some of those borderline areas. And then I just have some things in here on getting some more details into the plan. They do have the price that DELCORA was sold to AQUA. It was $276,500. Or I'm sorry, $276,500,000. And it says that, the net sale proceeds would be used in this DELCORA trust fund. And, I don't know how much would be used for paying off any debts or other acquisition costs. So I think that should be clarified. One of the other things is one of the reasons they're doing this is to help pay for the long-term control plan and their future improvements. From previous presentations on this that I've seen, it's up to $1 billion. That's billion with a B. And that's one of the reasons they're looking at this. They're trying to figure out how to pay for all these improvements. It's a lot of it's being required by the federal government. And some of it has to do with also the some of the flows that they get treated with City of Philadelphia. And DELCORA sends flows to City of Philadelphia for treatment, and they have a cost sharing of improvements that whatever Philadelphia has to do, DELCORA does have to pay a certain percentage of whatever Philadelphia improvements are made. And that is a very large number. I think that's close to $600 million just for that is estimated right now. So a lot of costs in the near future coming up. So just asking for some of those items to be spelled out in the plan. Like I said, they've given presentations over the last year or maybe the last 6 months that I have seen these details. One of which is, how they're going to structure the DELCORA customer trust. And the idea behind that is, this is what I was seeing before, but it doesn't even say it in the plan really detailed. The idea is that it would be for the next 10 years, they would guarantee a certain cap rate of increases every year. So the last one I saw, they were saying it would no rates would go up more than 3% for the next 10 years. And if they did not have this sale of DELCORA, they project a 10 to 15% increase over the next 10 years. So it is a big cost savings, I believe, to the customers. But we're asking in here, in my email here, I have just want to see the details on, exactly who's benefiting from, from the trust, and make sure it's all, all of the Delaware County, or, is it restricted to only certain portions? I just want to make sure. My understanding is it would be for all of Delaware County, but that should be in the plan. That would be something that we want to see, so that just to make sure Chester Heights and Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority all get, those rate reductions. And I just have some clarification points kind of relative to Chester Heights Borough. They have a certain number of public sewer connections that seem kind of low. I think they had something in the 30s, like 30 some people connected to public sewer. And I know it's more than that. So I'm suggesting they contact Southwest to get the exact number for that. And some clarification. I don't believe it has Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority in there as the public sewer entity or authority that services Chester Heights. So that should be added. And then the last thing would be, they'll send an Act 537 plan resolution sample, so we can see exactly what they're looking for the council to consider for adoption. So I think next step would be, the council could review this, and if they have any comments or questions, we could put that together in a letter over to DELCORA for their consideration. Also, the Planning Commission should schedule this for their review if they have a meeting in August. That would seem to make the most sense with that as well.
Mike, can I ask you a quick question about Chester Heights flow? Does that go through Philadelphia well, or where does our flow go through?
No, so it's a good question. I think I have that in as one of my comments. I think it leads into what your question is. So Chester Heights goes through Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority, who then pumps all of their flows to DELCORA in the DELCORA's treatment plant in the city of Chester. So no flows from Chester Heights or Southwest go to City of Philadelphia. So that's one of the other questions in this is, how are those costs being broken down for these future improvements? And is it going to be for all of the customers or just those hydraulically connected? So it's more of the eastern service area that is hydraulically connected to the Philadelphia treatment. And, western municipalities, and Chester Heights, one of the western municipalities that they define, is not connected. So asking for clarification, I'm asking that in one of my comments here on how they're breaking those down.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, sure. Question for you. It's my understanding that Delaware County Council has filed an injunction to stop the sale of Delcora to Aqua. Do you see this as possibly putting the brakes on this for now, or obviously delays would be expected?
So my understanding is, it's in court. It's being Delcora is, I guess I'm not a lawyer here, but they filed against.
I can speak to that, Drew.
Go ahead.
So I have Solicitor Jerry Montella on my cell phone. He was kicked off of his internet. Possible storm. Jerry, go ahead, if you would.
Yeah, so what's happened is County Council filed an injunction against both Aqua and Delcora to block the sale of the transfer. It's before the Honorable Barry Dozer, and he has scheduled a hearing on that matter. They actually tried to work out a resolution, but that didn't happen. So he's actually scheduled a hearing for sometime late September. So, that's kind of what the status is. There's a hearing scheduled late September on that injunction.
So I guess
that may affect whatever's happening with this Act 537 plan.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask Jerry. Does it make sense for the borough then to hold off until they hear what the result of that hearing is?
You could still certainly go forward with having it before the Planning Commission. But I've talked to a couple of other municipal solicitors, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of action being taken yet on the part of municipalities for a review process.
I have a question, Mike. What are the deadlines that are involved in this?
So, I don't know if there's a 30-day public comment period that I believe just started in mid-July, I think.
I thought I saw July 6th. I was a little bit worried about that.
Well, there's a 60-day period, I believe, for the municipalities through September 2nd.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so they're two different things, Susan.
Okay.
So, one is just general public comment period. So anyone from any resident from any of the service area, anywhere basically in Delaware County, could come out, take a look at the plan, and make public comment on it. Municipalities have a different timeline, as Jerry just indicated. So you do have additional time. We can always make comments on it, and you don't have to, you don't have to adopt it right away. If you make comments, and they have to come back and answer those comments to the borough's satisfaction before you would act on it. So I think as long as you get comments in, I would say this month, between, borough council comments, we could, if you want, I can, draft a letter, or borough, or Sue could put it together on borough letterhead based on my comments and any comments from council, and then also comments from planning commission, put together one big draft letter, and then everybody looks at it. If it's good, we can send it out to Delcora, as the comments from Chester Heights Borough.
I think that's a good idea rather than not responding at all.
Oh, sure. I think we were going to respond. I don't think we weren't going to respond. That's why I asked Mike Sioku to bring this in so we could talk about it as a council. Drew, for us to deliver this to the Planning Commission for them to take a look at it, do we need to make a motion, or can we just take care of that via email?
No motion is required, I don't believe. And I believe they will meet this month if there's something on their agenda, but this would have to be on their agenda. So, yes, we could have them review this month at their meeting, which is the third Thursday, I guess, of this month. I don't have that exact date in front of me. That's fine. And we could send this out to them this week so they have advance notice and have plenty of time to review it.
And if anybody has any comments, they're always more than welcome to send it to info@chesterheights.org. And then Sue can make sure that gets delivered to the Planning Commission for consideration on comments.
Great. That's a great idea. Okay. Any further questions for Mike? Okay, Mike, thank you for calling in. I know you're on vacation, and thank you for taking the time out to be with us tonight.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Have a good night. Okay, moving forward on the agenda, up next we have possible development for 104 to 106 Baltimore Pike. Present tonight we have Darren Kapanji. Darren, I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. And I see your counsel, Mr. John Jarvis, is present too. Could I pass the floor to either one of you?
Thank you, Mr. Baum. I'll take that. Good evening. My name is John Jarvis, and I represent DJ Car Wash One LLC, the principal of which is Mr. Darren Kapanji, and on this call with me this evening. The subject property is located at 104-106 Baltimore Pike on the southwest corner of the intersection of U.S. Route 1 and Valley Brook Road. The property consists of 4.2 acres and is located in the B business district of the borough. The property is currently vacant and partially paved. The applicant proposes to construct a new state-of-the-art, environmentally friendly extreme express car wash with free vacuums to be known as the Wave Car Wash. My client will be the proposed owner and operator of the facility, and Mr. Kapanji will tell you a little bit more about the proposed use and its operation in a moment. The B business district permits gasoline station, automotive repair, and sales as a use by special exception, which is the closest thing to car wash use in the zoning ordinance. No other district appears to specifically permit car wash as a permitted use. And after Mr. Kapanji has an opportunity to give you a little bit more information about the proposed use, we're here to answer any questions Borough Council may have, and also try and seek some direction from Borough Council and their engineer as to the most expeditious way to proceed with the proposed use. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Mr. Kapanji.
Great, thanks. I have a presentation I'd like to share, if the host could allow that. If the host of the meeting down at the bottom under security, if you allow participants to share their desktop. Who's the host of the meeting? Oh, there we go. Great. Thank you. Wonderful. So, yes, my name is Darren Kapanji. I'm very excited to be sharing this presentation with you this evening. I know when you think of car wash, any of the car washes around town here, you're going to have a different view of what I'm trying to bring here. This model that I'm about to present to you tonight is a very popular model out west and in the south, and it's starting to creep up here. There is one of these over in New Jersey and as close as down south in Maryland. So as John mentioned, we're going to be presenting this car wash model. And just to give you a quick overview, the different car wash models that are out there today are the self-serve model. If you remember, you know, with the spray guns, have your gun, there's an in-game automatic, and you know, this machine, and then you know, you drive out. there's a full serve where you get out of your car and people service, you know, both the inside and out. And then what I'm presenting to you is what's called an Extreme Express car wash with free vacuums. So the key is express, right? Today's day and age, people don't want to mess around. They want to get in and get out. And the idea is, you know, the customers will drive through here. We're going to have three pay lanes. I'll show you a site plan in a little bit, but I just want to get your head wrapped around this model because it's not in this area. So three pay lanes, two will have pay stations and one's going to be for monthly members only. And I'll talk about the monthly membership in a little bit. Monthly members only, there's license plate recognition technology, so you don't have to do a thing. You drive right up. Good afternoon, Mr. Baum. You know, you come in for your wash, you drive through the tunnel, in 3 minutes you're in and out, and then you can come to the free vacuum station, and I'll give you a better picture of the vacuums in a little bit. But free vacuums, you come in, use the vacuums, and then go about your business. The free vacuums is really important. Whether you're a paying customer or not, if you just went to the shore and you came back and you got some sand in the car, you know, you just want to come in and do a quick vacuum, you know, you can, whether you pay for a wash or not, or you just, you know, you're driving down the road and your kids just spilled a bunch of goldfish in the back of the car, which happens to me about once a week. You know, then you can go, you know, drive to the wash and use the free vacuums without paying for a car wash. So that's really important. This is a picture of another car wash called Finish Line. These guys are out of Ohio. So, okay, so before we go any further, I want to ask you guys a question. And Drew, I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on you.
Sure.
What do you think the number one reason why people don't get their car washed? Don't worry if you get this right or wrong. This is not everyone gets this right. This is a tough question.
I would say probably because it takes too long to enter the facility and exit.
So convenience is number two. Convenience is number two. The number one reason is it's too expensive. Too expensive in the sense, you know, it's going to rain on Tuesday. I don't want to get my car washed on Monday because then I'm going to get it washed again on Wednesday, right? So it's a very price sensitive market and people having to, you know, plan out their weeks around the car washing. Well, we're going to use a Netflix model. And again, this is a proven model out west and in the south. I'm not reinventing the wheel. This is a proven success model in other places. We're just going to have three wash options. I hate going to a car wash and there's six different options and four different add-ons, right? No add-ons, no nothing. Three very simple, basic choices. And we're going to have monthly memberships around those three options. They're going to be very affordable. So for the cost of less than two washes in a month, you can wash your car infinitely many times in a month. So I don't want to share the pricing model, but it's really low. And the idea is, you know, just to get people, you know, coming back for more. So we're going to make it very, very affordable. Okay, let me pick on someone else. Laura, I'm going to pick on you now. What do you think the number one reason why people get their car washed? And this is not just me making up numbers or asking 10 people. This is based off like industry nationwide surveys.
Does that want to look cool?
Look cool? Well, it's along the same lines. It feels good, right? If you get your car washed, it's a good feeling. Right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to capture that feel-good mentality throughout the whole wash experience, from when they set foot on the property to the staff that's going to be working there, to the signage and the marketing all throughout. You know, we're really going to make people feel good about coming to the wash and having their car washed, you know, clean, dry, shiny car in a matter of minutes. So as John mentioned, the technology in these things are unbelievable. From the chemistry to, you know, when you drive in, it takes a 3D image scan of your car. It knows where every inch of your car is. I know some of the washes you drive to around here, it says no truck beds, or they have to put that bag on the back if you have a windshield wiper on the back of your car and they got to tape it down. But you don't need to do any of that stuff. So a 3D scan of your car follows you all the way through. The chemistry, the high pressure, arches they have, today, the wax, the ceramic coating. I don't want to get too much into the chemistry, but really cool stuff. And another thing that you can kind of see here, and I'm going to show you a better image later, this conveyor, is pretty new, to the market. So you know, when you go to the car wash, they're like, you know, trying to get you on, and you know, you're worried about getting your rims messed up, or if you have a low profile car, you can't do it. This is a conveyor, like, you know, like when you're going to the airport, you know, it's a straight up conveyor. It's flat, and you just drive on, put it in neutral, and you know, the conveyor will pull you through the wash. So another thing I want you to get out of this nice open, airy, you know, it's clean. Some of the car washes you may go to around here, you know, look really dirty and whatnot. I don't want to beat up the competition, but to show you, like, we're going to be doing everything at a really high level, nice, clean, professional experience. And the vacuums, the free vacuums, right? So at night, it looks great. They have these LED lights, and, you know, when people see this, they know, you know, like, hey, what's going on over there? And so some things I want you to get out of this slide here. When you pull in, there's vacuum hoses on either side. So you can, you know, you don't need to reach across and grab through. Two other things that we're going to do that aren't pictured in this or not displayed in this picture here are we're going to have, so the hardest part of getting your car washed, if you know, you go through the ones around here, it's really tough to get them dry. So we're going to do two things to combat that. We're going to have compressed air guns to get in and around the mirrors and, you know, around the license plate in the back to help, you know, the chemicals are there to push that water away, but the air gun, you know, help move that. And then we're going to have free microfiber towels on site. So if there's any excess, do people want to wipe down? I mean, the technology's there to get them really, really close to dry, but, you know, you never get out of a car wash and it's 100% dry. So we're going to have the free towels and have the compressed air guns on these stations. And I'll show you a picture of that through the video I'm gonna show you in a minute. So some of you are very familiar with this site and know that there's no sewer access. Well, I found a solution that reclaims 97%. It says 100% on this slide. That's not 100% accurate. I come to find it, 97%. 90%, 7% of the wash water is recycled through the wash. The other 3% will have in a underground storage tank that will have pumped out once a month, similar to you would for a septic system. But this is a green and clean wash experience. We're recycling. So we use about 50 gallons on the top wash package, about 50 gallons of water for each car. 5 gallons of that are going to go out through the through evaporation and just like go out with the car. So the 45 gallons that are remaining, 44 of them we're going to be able to reuse. And that extra 1 gallon, approximately a little less than a gallon, is going to go into the our excess tank. So really environmentally friendly. If you're interested, and I know Mike may be with the sewer, I can talk you through the process, but it's a really unbelievable system. So we don't need sewer access for the wash. So I mentioned there's a place over in Jersey. This is my buddy Rob, owns this place over in Jersey. Sammy's, he just opened up in January, right before COVID hit. And he's still crushing it. He's doing great. He's doing great over there. So I just want to show you this. Sorry, that music was too loud. So you can see the conveyor here that customers can drive on there pretty easily. The three pay lanes, and you can see the conveyor moving through there. The free vacuum stations, and if you notice in the vacuum stations, which I meant to show you, here's where his towel stations are, and the compressed air guns here to help push out any excess water. So really nice washing put together, and see, he's got unlimited wash club starting in 1999, so unlimited washes for a month. On his base package, he has a price at $20 a month. That's pretty much it. So they go through the wash and then over into the vacuum area, but really, really nice wash that Rob put together over there in New Jersey. So, okay, so let's talk about the site plan a little bit. This is a really high level view, and I'm gonna zoom in on the next slide to give you a better sense of the property. But this property here, it's got that little like jug handle that comes out over here. That's what this area is, which is back over here. So we're not gonna develop this entire area. We're just developing. It's a little over. I think it's an acre and a half that we're gonna develop on the 4.2 acre site. So Route 1, Valley Brook Road, and speaking with Matt, I did have some informal discussions with Matt. We were gonna talk about moving this down. This is just a sketch plan, a draft, just to get your idea, get your head wrapped around, you know, my vision for the site. So let's look at it closer here. Customers can enter, and well, let's talk about entering off Route 1, wrap themselves around here. We can stack 40 plus cars. I have 44 cars that I could stack on here. So no need to worry about backing traffic up anywhere. If I have 44 cars to stack, I'm going to be really happy. And on a busy day after the snowstorm, you know, that may be the case. But we're not going to have any problems with stacking. Three pay lanes, the outside pay lane for monthly members only. It again just drives right up. We have a 150-foot tunnel here. So the rule of thumb is, you know, if you can, however long your tunnel is, you can wash that many cars in an hour. So my day job, I'm an associate professor of statistics down at Temple. So math and statistics are like, you know, I'm very passionate about them, which is why, you know, this industry really appealed to me, because it's all based on numbers and metrics, right? So 150-foot tunnel, I can wash 150 cars in an hour. These pay stations, you can do 50 for the paying in an hour and 75 for the monthly members. So I got 175 cars I can get through there. And then my 30 vacuum stations here, however long your tunnel is, you want two vacuums for every 10 feet of tunnel. So 30 vacuum stations. And these things stay busy. I don't know if you saw or noticed in Rob's video, he only had room for 18 vacuums, and his vacuums are always filled up, and customers are like waiting for vacuums. So it may seem like a lot, but it's not. And these vacuum stations, like I said, they really helped this business, this Extreme Express business, explode. High quality, free vacuums. So the customers go through the wash, exit, and can go to the vacuum stations or exit either here on Valley Brook Road or drive back around. If they're traveling northbound on Route 1, they can head back up the northbound section there. So again, this is just a draft, and just to get your idea, we're gonna do beautiful landscaping along Route 1 here and along Valley Brook Road, really pristine, just like that the renderings that I showed you, you know, with the building here. Everything about what we're gonna do is you know, gonna be high quality. So just a couple other pictures of some of the renderings. We have a bathroom here for staff and customers, laundry room behind that, and then the rest of, so that's basically where the laundry room would be, and then on this side, coming down would be our equipment room. So that's basically what we're trying to propose to put on this site.
Great. One question, if I could, and this might be premature. Your exit on the Valley Brook Road, do you foresee that as being right turn only? Has Matt given you any indication, or have you talked to anybody at PennDOT about that?
No, not yet. I would love for them to be able to make a left there. Even the way the site is right now, which is really close to like that to Route 1, sure. You can still make a left out of there.
Okay.
And, you know, if we're putting this further down and there's a lot of room, because if people want to travel southbound on Route 1, they would make a left out of Valley Brook Road here and then a left onto Route 1.
Okay.
That would be the most efficient way to do it. And when we move this down, we'll have, you know, this road here a little bit longer. But, you know, we'll have those discussions with PennDOT as well. But my vision right now would be able to make a left there for people that want to travel southbound on Route 1.
Sure. Okay.
And you want to allow people to make a left in and a left out there?
I'm sorry, say that again, sir?
You want to allow people to make a left, well, I guess it wouldn't be a left in. It would be a left out onto Valley Brook?
Yes. Yeah. Again, this is just a draft. I mean, this is just a draft. I mean, I want you to get more focused on the car wash concept model and this Extreme Express model. Everything else, you know, we can work through that as we work through the planning phase and whatnot. But this is just, a first draft. And this draft, this the way that this is set up, this is the proven model. The vacuums in the front, right? So people can see that, and it's great for the lighting. And I mean, there is some noise with the vacuums. It's not horrible, and we're far enough away from our neighbors at Madison, so you know it's not an issue. But this, you know, activity breeds activity, and when people see, you know, people in the free vacuum area and see that there's free vacuums, you know, that helps generate the business.
So based off the picture, and I realize it's just a first draft just to get the concept out there, but it, on that actual road, that corner, it's a big incline. So do you plan, I mean, is your expectation is that you're going to be terraforming and making all that level?
Yeah, we'll make that level. Back here we have, you know, a proposed retaining wall that we're going to have to and do some work down here. Yeah.
So yeah, that current corner where there's the old gas station and those tanks, is all that going to be removed and terraformed and you're going to go down below is your plan?
No, we're pretty much like at grade where Ennis's old, or that old service station was. All the tanks have been removed. They were removed back in, I think it was 99. So there are no underground storage tanks there, to my knowledge, right now.
And there is public water there into the site?
There is just public water access here. But our water bill is not going to be too crazy because we're recycling all the water.
Sure.
There is public water access there.
Okay.
There is a development directly across Baltimore Pike to consider.
Yes, the Highland Reserve townhomes.
And there's a home directly across Valley Brook Road as well.
Yes. Yes. Right here. Yep. And this is the Verizon building right here and the Madison apartments down here. So there's a lot of vegetation here. You can't even see that home there, right? And again, the noise thing is not going to be, it's not too loud. You would think it would be, but again, the technology in these things is really, really amazing. I've visited over 200 car washes across the country, you know, before putting this model and this plan together. And it's truly amazing what's going on. This type of car wash is coming here. It's just a matter of time. I bought my first home in Chester Heights. I currently reside over in Concord Township, and I'm you know, building a car wash somewhere, and I would love for it to be in Chester Heights here.
I guess I was more worried about the bright LED lighting.
It's very contained. If we go back to that thing, if you notice here, look how it doesn't go far off from the parking space here, right? So it's not, you know, pushing that light off the property. It's just on the property right where those stations are is where the lights are. We're just seeing it here at this angle, you know, like you're looking up at it. So it looks more bright than it is because it stays within those parking spaces. Any other questions or comments at this point?
What are your hours of operation going to be?
That's a good question, Fred. Right now, I would propose them to be 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. The train station coming in right down the road, people commuting down to the train station to get the service. And that's a big commuter intersection. There's 42,000 average daily traffic on that corner between Valley Brook Road and Route 1. For right now it's 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., but that is that's negotiable. So there's something else I wanted to mention, I forgot. Really, I mean, I just mentioned I live in the community. We're going to give back to the community. We're going to do a lot of fundraising things. So you put in a code that'll go to, let's say we have some partnership with St. Thomas down the road, and percentage of the proceeds will go to St. Thomas, or the Garden Valley. They usually do those football cards, which aren't too great right now in COVID times. We're going to deal with them to do a fundraiser for them. So we're going to do a lot of things to give back to the community and really run this car wash like a business. Most car washes around here, they just build it and assume people are going to come. But we're going to do a really great job to get involved with the community and run this like a business. So I'm from the community. I want to help build this brand in the community.
Darren, one last question. Are the vacuums open 24/7 or will they close when the hours of operation?
They'll close with the site. Yeah, they'll close with the site. We'll have the site, chained off after hours so people can't come in and do that.
Okay.
Darren, did you say you actually own this property or you are considering purchasing it?
No, it's under contract. I'm in my due diligence.
Let me interject, and I said I stated these comments at the outset. I've spoke with Jerry and Matt independently before tonight's meeting with regard to the use, and council may certainly want to consult with the solicitor and their engineer on the issue, but it's that kind of direction we're looking to obtain with regard to the next step forward. And obviously, if it's a use, if it can fit within a use by right, obviously that's straight to land development plan. If it requires a special exception application, that obviously is an application to the zoning hearing board, which will have to occur and hopefully get approved before we file a land development plan. But as I said, council may want to have further discussions with their solicitor and their engineer prior to giving us that direction.
Yeah, we just wanted to come here tonight and just start the discussion because we haven't seen a car wash model like this around here. And if you travel in different areas, you may have seen something like this before. But just wanted to bring this this model to present to you tonight.
Great. I was going to say, there's not any car washes out here. If you need one, you have to go to Aston. There's nothing in Concord Township, right?
There is a car wash in Concord Township.
The two closest car wash.
It's on 202 Beaver Valley Road.
Yeah, that's Mr. Wizard.
That one, way down on 202, yeah.
Yes, and then there's a Mr. Wizard in Aston well. He built those a long, long time ago. They don't have free vacuums. The vacuums, you have to put the quarters in, and I think you have a couple minutes before your vacuum time is up. The two closest are both 4.2 and 4.6 miles away.
I have a question. During your due diligence, we did mention this used to be a gas station for years and years and years, and we know the tanks have been removed. But do you know when the last environmental study of the actual property itself was done with years and fuel and oil storage underground? Because it was also a propane place. Do we know what the ground looks like now? Has there been a study?
So the last information that I saw, there was when they took the tanks out. If you remember, it was Exxon and Ennis had a station there. And the Exxon tanks had some issues with some leakage. That was back in 99. They did remediation. And in 2003, it got a clean bill of health. And the documents are actually, I saw the documents that were sent to Chester Heights and it was in the paper. And the propane tanks, there weren't any issues with them. They were above ground and they were removed properly. But the underground storage tanks was back in 2003 is when it got its last clean bill of health. So... There were some issues with, you know, asbestos and stuff like that on that building that was there, this garage station, but that was, again, all removed properly. The only thing that's on site is the detailing shop that's on the south end of the property. That's the only remaining structure on site.
Darren, I assume you've documentation as per that cleanup that was done. Was it 03, et cetera, 04, to protect yourself?
The cleanup was done in 02, and then it did, they did the test in 03, and that's when it got the clean bill of health in 2003.
Okay. And that's documented, I assume.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Any further questions for either John or Darren? Would you mind staying for a couple minutes till we get to our public comment portion of the meeting? In case any residents who are online with us have any questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. And we will consult with our solicitor engineer, and I assume you will be in contact with them also. Okay, thank you. Moving forward, I want to just input one item on the agenda before getting to 103 Valley Brook. We have Trooper Tobin from the Media Barracks with us tonight. I want to welcome her. Thank you for coming, Jessica. And could you please provide us with the happenings that have been going on in our borough?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see everyone again, of course. So I'm going to kick it off here with a few incidents that occurred in the borough just in the month of July. So as far as details go, I'd be more than happy to give you any details via email. If you have any questions for specifics that are occurring. But as of right now, we have 78 total incidents that have occurred in July. And a lot of the incidents, remember, are domestic security checks, which require us to go to residents, whether there's a call or a complaint for a suspicious person, or just us going around the area to ensure that no vandalism, destruction, things like that are occurring. And in addition to that, we did receive a few complaints from community and also some walk-ins, believe it or not, at our barracks in reference to Lenai Road. So we have been increasing enforcement there. So if there is any other concerns or issues on Lenai Road, just please keep us posted. We have seen a decrease in speeding. But again, if there's any issues or concerns on specific areas in the roads within the borough, please let me know. Yes.
You know, I noticed there's these large trucks that come down. I was going to mention this to Dave, these large trucks that come down Lenai Road, and they have gotten in the habit of just riding on or over the center line because they're so big and just running you off the road. I noticed that happening a few times over the past couple weeks.
So I haven't received any issues or concerns regarding large trucks from the community. However, this is something I'm working with Thornberry Township as well, because they're experiencing a lot of increased commercial vehicle traffic as well. So we have our MCSAP unit, which is our motor carrier enforcement team, and they're responsible for ensuring that commercial vehicles are operating safely within the guidelines that they're supposed to be. So with that being said, if it's something that, you know, the board wants to, you know, address or pay attention to, I'd be more than happy to get them involved and see, you know, what we could do moving forward. But just keep in mind, PennDOT would need to be in the loop on that as far as like any traffic control devices, whether they permit or do not permit commercial vehicles. And then you also have to, you know, make an exemption for deliveries for residents and also, you know, fire apparatus and school buses when school buses start going back in session. So just keep those in mind. But I'd be more than happy to work with you with that. So we all know that tropical storms coming. So just please be mindful of downed trees. I actually just got an email prior to this meeting. So it's actually, our winds are starting to pick up between like 45 to 50 miles an hour expected tomorrow and Tuesday. So with that being said, we're going to be very busy tomorrow. So if there's any issues or concerns with downed trees, 911, or call us directly. Because remember, when you call 911, it goes to DELCOM, and then DELCOM forwards that information to the state police. So our direct number is 484-840-1000. And that goes for anything, whether it's down power lines, down trees, we're going to know about it. We have a lot of manpower scheduled to be present during these next couple of days just as a result of that. So just please make sure you got your emergency kits, your food, your water, your flashlights, and your batteries, because it's definitely going to be a busy one, and PICO's on board with making sure they have extra manpower as well. So with that being said, the current climate that we're in, I'm sure we're all very knowledgeable with the incident that occurred back in May with George Floyd. It is a very difficult time for law enforcement, especially the state police. It's brought the best of the best of people and the worst of the worst. So myself and a lot of the Delaware County police chiefs and captains have gotten together on numerous occasions now and talking about different ways that we can strategize a law enforcement reform. So whether it's working with the community, talking about trying to get different police departments in our area accredited. So what that means, in the state police, we are accredited agencies. So what that accreditation entails is just us to be able to make sure we're upholding the certain police standards that that specific agency wants us to make sure that we're doing. So, and excuse me for one second as I pull this up here. So with the law enforcement accreditation process, it makes sure everybody's on the same page. So, and our practices are either standardized or uniform. It's very difficult because the state police, we have a set of rules and regulations and policy and procedures that we follow, but maybe Nether Providence, Upper Prov, Brookhaven, Media Borough, so on and so forth, have different regulations and also different training tactics. So we're working on trying to ensure that we're all working on the same page and providing education to the community, you know, just to kind of keep everyone in the loop on why we make the decisions that we do, and also our use of force curriculum as well. So with that being said, I am given the green light to start teaching my civilian-based programs that I have been doing last year. So any educational programs that you guys are looking to have done, I would be more than happy, whether it's a virtual setting like this or in person, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I do a lot of internet safety, distracted driving, firearm safety, active shooter, home and neighborhood safety, personal safety, you name it. I could definitely put something together. I actually just attended an implicit bias training, which is amazing, by the way. Very valuable stuff. So I would be more than happy to put something on for you guys with that as well. We are in the works of trying to put on what's called a civilian police academy. It's a citizen-based academy where we get all the community involved and we kind of teach our tactics. You do ride-alongs, traffic stops, get to learn, you know, why we do what we do, and kind of give you, change your misperceptions a little bit. Not to say that we have a lot in this room now, but just in general. So just to give you a little heads up of what we're working on in Delaware County. COVID's still in existence. So if there's any issues with COVID-19 for a business standpoint, Chester County Public Health Department, they're going to be responsible for handling any and all COVID-19 complaints. So whether they're not following the proper guidelines, whether it's PPE, the personal protective equipment, whatever it is that they are not obeying the guidelines and recommendations by Governor Wolf, like I said, Chester County will be responsible for handling those. And their telephone number is 610-344-6225. And I will send that over to via email to everybody, so everybody makes sure they have those. We're still trying to keep Camp Cadet alive. Unfortunately, given the circumstances for 2020, a lot of our events were canceled. So If anybody would like to participate in our fundraising event, we are having a golf outing at Bala Golf Club in Philadelphia on October 19th, which is a Monday. I will send that stuff over, and I'm sure, Gina, if you wouldn't mind sharing that via social media, that would be greatly appreciated. But we're looking for sponsors and obviously participants that are just looking to, you know, give to a good cause with our program. So with that in mind, does anybody have any questions for me? Can I answer anything that might be spewing right now, whether it's problems, issues in the community, things that need to be addressed? I'll open the floor up.
Cooper, I have a question unrelated to anything you mentioned tonight. Out of curiosity, I think we've all seen the one-story masonry building that's being built adjacent to your current barracks. Is that, in fact, your new home for the media barracks?
Yes, it is. We are and very excited.
When do you think you would move into that building?
September, as of right now.
Okay.
We don't have an exact date picked. I know they're working on our communication towers, and unfortunately, they kind of got slowed down in that regard, so I don't really know all the ins and outs, what's going on with that. It's supposed to be done this month, and we're supposed to move in August 15th. However, that's going to be pushed back, but definitely in September, and then I will definitely reach out to Chester Heights Borough in reference to our grand opening event, whenever that will be.
Sure, and out of curiosity again, is that building larger than the building you're in now, about the same, smaller?
It is larger.
Okay.
So the building that we have now is two floors. This building is one floor. However, there's at least six additional rooms from what we have here at Media in
okay,
our
good.
Building that we're in. So they do plan on just demolishing that building once we move. There was talks of possibly, you know, whether they were going to sell it or what have you, but it is going to be demolished once we are moved into our new facility.
Great, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hi, Trooper Tobin, I had a quick question. I don't know if you remember in January, you had presented to council and you had given an update about troopers being hired in. And I believe you were going to hire 5, 6, or 7 new troopers to the area. Is that hiring still happening, and have they already been hired, or what's the progress on that?
Yes, so we did receive our 6 new troopers, and then in addition to that conversation in January, I believe it was, we also received 2 more.
Okay.
So, but we are having one that's retiring, so keep that in mind. You know, we do get a lot. We actually are at full capacity right now for media, and that's in addition to our supervisors too. So we are in a really good place. So any, as far as enforcement, aggressive driving enforcement, complaints, whether it's speeding within the community, we are in the best place that we've been in since I've been here in 2017. So we're pleased with that, especially since now we'll have more room in our new building to house everybody. Because right now we have about 67, I believe, personnel at our station, which is a lot, but small areas. So we're excited that we'll be able to spread out a little bit.
Good. I'm glad. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything?
I'm sorry. Are there any further questions for Trooper Tobin?
Yes. The classes that you're offering, if there is an interest, where would the education happen?
So I unfortunately can't do it at our barracks right now, just given the situation with the construction that's taking place. If it's virtual, then everybody can hop onto the computer. If somebody wants to meet in person, I'm more than happy to meet, whether it's a public place or if Chester Heights Borough has somewhere in mind, you know, or a community member, it doesn't matter. I don't have any limitations on where it's going to be held. It's just making sure that we have the proper COVID-19 guidelines of wherever it's going to be held. That's all.
Are there fees associated with these classes that you're offering?
No.
No. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yes. And then next question. I know that there are, 9 municipalities that your barracks handles. If one of them says, we want to do this, would you open it up to the other municipalities and say, hey, we're doing this for Thornbury Township. Does Chester Heights want to participate as well, especially if it's Zoom?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Okay. Yep, I can do that. And then just keep in mind, too, if just because some of the things that I didn't say, like I went through a list of what I do cover, but again, if somebody has any questions and saying, you know, hey, could Trooper Tobin, can you put on a educational training based off of whether it's animal cruelty laws or I had that, human trafficking, cybersecurity, anything, just feel free to reach out to me via email. And then I could be more than happy to put something together for everybody. And remember, all of our trainings are free that I provide. And then in addition to that, we also do RVAT too, which is our risk and vulnerability assessment team. So this would be good for the potential car wash that would come. So that is a free assessment. Usually private entities, they charge at least $2,000 to have that service done. We are free of cost. It's a two-day assessment that is performed by a specific team out in Harrisburg. They come down, they perform the assessment. It's very expensive, but it is great to make sure that you're prepared for an active shooter event, whether it's a weather emergency, and then making sure that you have the proper protocols in place for an evacuation. But I could give you all that information, too, if anybody's interested.
Thank you.
Sure.
Great, thank you. Any further questions or comments for Trooper Tobin? And Trooper, I would ask you if you could stay with us for another couple minutes till we reach our public comment session in case anybody that is with us has questions from the audience.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Moving forward on the agenda, we have another possible development, this time for number 103 Valley Brook Road. We have with us tonight Nicholas Kenny. Nicholas, how are you tonight? Could I pass this off to you, please?
Yes. Hi. How is everyone? Thanks for taking the time to meet me tonight and putting me on the agenda. I'm Nicholas Kenny. I am the managing partner of Kenny Development. We are a development firm based, a family office based out of New York and Philadelphia. We acquired Valley Brook Road several years back, and we have been in the process of debating on whether or not we want to go forward with development here. At the moment, it's currently zoned RM1, and I believe is as of right, we can subdivide it for 8 single-family lots. The site is currently improved by 1 single-family home and then 13.2 acres of unimproved land. What we're looking to understand is if we want to proceed with this development site, is if we can get a zoning overlay to build 32 townhomes, essentially take each of those individual single-family lots and create a townhome there with 4 units for each of them. My understanding is that for this site, we will need to have 2 points of access here. So we are looking to get an easement through Madison Road, to basically have 2 points of entry, one on Valley Brook Road and one on Madison Road. We are looking to develop a product here of about a $450,000 sellout per townhome. So a nice affordable product for early families entering the area for the school district. So we also need to understand what type of tax abatement programs can we put in place for these families when we sell their homes if they're entering the school districts at that time. In addition, I also want to understand what is the economic development plan that we need to put in place here in order to get these approvals for the townhomes as well, and if there's any project bonds or financing available from the city to proceed with the development. That being said, I myself personally have 8 years of experience in development. Our project team in place currently consists of myself, Michelle Kenny, who is my father and the current owner of the site, Pat McFadden, who is our architect. We have our broker on board, Michael Riemann, who will be helping out with interior design as well as selling of townhomes. And once we understand that we can get approvals for 32 units here and what type of site improvements we will have to do for the horizontal development of the site, then we will engage a general contractor and bring them on board and move forward with our construction drawings. So that is where we stand today, and just want to get an understanding from the City Council on what we need to submit in order to get those approvals. And I apologize for all the noise around me. I'm in my car currently. Wasn't able to make it to my office in time for the call.
And so do you actually own this property, or do you own it with the – is there – you also said you mentioned an owner.
Well, yes, my father owns the site, Ashok Kenny.
Okay.
So – Nicholas, I think as a council, we would want to consult with our solicitor, zoning officer, and engineer. Jerry, is there anything that you would want to add? And Matt, you also?
Well, I mean, from an overlay standpoint, I'd have to look at the zoning code to determine what's the best opportunity for council to accept such a proposal. I think initially, Mr. Kenny, I think the cost of development is something that maybe Mr. Hootman can talk about. I understand previously when there was a proposal about a year or so ago, there was an issue before council, and I'm not sure, frankly, whether it was you or someone else who came before council wanting to develop it, but there was an access issue, and that issue was access over the creek or creek that runs through that property, and how, you know, you get to the other side. It was my understanding that there was a 100-year-old flood plain in that area that would cause some, you know, that was may not have been cost-effective at that time. So I haven't seen a plan with regard to the access over that stream, if you will, and how you're going to get access to those eight or the additional lots that you're talking about. Maybe that's the starting point.
So while I understand, for as a single-family home development, that cost isn't particularly prohibitive, but it definitely does play no factor whether or not to develop this site. As a townhome development, that cost is no longer prohibitive, and it definitely is something to move forward with and consider two points of access, one coming over the 100-year floodplain with a setback to get ourselves out of the floodplain, as well as a second point of access through an easement through Matson Road. So that is how we plan to resolve those issues. It's just understanding if we can get the zoning overlay for on RM1 zoning prior to doing a full analysis and getting a full breakdown of cost. However, based on our budget numbers and our pro forma at the moment, it doesn't seem to be prohibitive to build a bridge over that creek.
Do you have an easement yet, Matson Road? Is that the Kelly property?
Yes, we're currently trying to get the easement in place. Before we go full swinging on this and try to get everything in place, we want to understand if the council would be opposed to us building 32 townhomes here, if that's even an option to get that overlay to build these 32 homes. Then I can come back to you at the next meeting once I put all your questions, have them all answered, and then we can proceed with getting everything in place.
Mr. President, I have no further questions. I'm certainly not in a position tonight to respond with regard to the application of a overlay before council on what council's prerogative may be with regard to that.
Sure, I think
that gets sent to zoning and planning first to make those determinations, or does council make that determination?
Well, the zoning officer would have to lend his opinion to this. Rich, are you with us tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I've lost internet a couple times. The overlay is really a council decision if they want to go that route, okay? It looks to me that just on the surface, there's going to be considerable improvements to be made with the bridge. The townhouses, the $64 question is if they can get the easement for the second entrance. And we don't have a plan showing how they're going to work. And this has a lot of steep slopes. It's got streams bordering it on two sides. There's some issues with this piece of property. So
If I may, Matt Hootman, this sketch did go come before the borough in some capacity a little bit ago, as Jerry stated. And as I recall, I measured the drainage area to that crossing, the crossing of the Green Creek there. And I don't remember the exact acreage, but it was over 1,000 acres of land drains to that through that creek. So that's just going to be a massive amount of water at the 100-year storm.
Yeah.
And I don't think, clearly, eight lots, at least in my opinion, would not be able to afford the capital to construct that type of crossing and still be able to make any money with 8 lots. Now, as far as the overlay, as I recall, the borough has passed some overlay ordinances, but they were restricted to land that was zone B business or lands that had an institutional use. And I forget what the precursor was for Brookfield. But right now, none of those overlays would apply to this tract. So if borough council wanted to move forward with this, they'd have to, you know, amend their zoning ordinance to allow for an additional overlay in whatever respect for this particular parcel. And, you know, I do think that's a hurdle. And I also think the access is a real hurdle, because whether we need an access which is fully functioning that I think doesn't cross that stream. So that would have to come from, I guess, the Kelly side, if, you know, the applicant could somehow procure the land necessary to do that.
I agree, Matt. And have you seen anything for a configuration for townhouses on this ground?
I think the applicant shared with the borough a sketch. I just glanced at it. I didn't, without hearing the presentation, I didn't spend too much time with it.
Right.
Nicholas, my recommendation would be to, we could have you on the agenda for next month's meeting. Maybe in the next 30 days, you could contact our solicitor, zoning officer, engineer. Just have some discussions with them. Maybe in the next 30 days, you'll have a clearer picture of your second access, if that's attainable for you. And then we would invite you back next meeting. Maybe some of those items would be answered and we would have some additional comments from our professionals to add to that at the next meeting.
Of course, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, and would you mind staying on for another minute? Our public comment section is next, just in case any residents have any questions.
Of course, thank you.
Okay, so thank you for your time. Okay, moving forward, we have the opportunity for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Larry, can I pass this off to you, please?
Sure. I'm going to go down the participant list. I'm going to keep out the people that have already presented. Debbie Kern, do you have anything for public comment? Okay. There's an iPhone here.
Hello? Sorry. It's Debbie Kern.
Yes.
I'm at 258 Llewellyn Road. With both the car wash and the additional townhomes, my concern is all this additional traffic on Valley Brook and flowing through Llewellyn and so forth. A lot of people coming on Baltimore Pike don't want to deal with that traffic, like at rush hour. So Valley Brook to Llewellyn to Aston, is there workaround? And I mean, the traffic speed on Llewellyn now is, you know, probably 45 to 60, just like it is on Baltimore Pike. So that's my concern.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have an iPhone 610 420 3463. Do you have anything to say? Okay. JB Hatch? Nothing? Gene or Jeannie? Okay. Mary Kay?
Yes, I also want to ask, I thought they were going to put some speed signs in along Llewellyn because it is a problem with the, especially with the larger trucks. Just about, you know, back up what Debbie was saying.
Matt, is that something you could talk to our liaison with PennDOT about possibly doing?
Okay.
Matt, did you hear that? Is that something you could possibly check with PennDOT as far as posting some more speed signs along the Welland?
I sure can, Drew. Sorry, I was left muted. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
And just a comment to Debbie on the traffic we're seeing now. I think when the SEPTA train station opens up in a couple of years, I guess 2021, the traffic on Valley Brook Road has grown, I guess, worse every year for the past 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. When that opens, I think we're going to see a new level of traffic coming down that road and probably the surrounding roads.
Okay, Marta?
Nothing for me tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Going down the list here. Pat McFadden.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Mr. President, members of council, everybody from Chester Heights. I sent an email to Sue a while ago about Llewellyn Road. They were getting a lot of traffic with these empty dump trucks that are hitting these potholes. The road, not potholes, but the bed surface. I was wondering if there's any way we could have PennDOT look at the resurfacing of Llewellyn Road. It's just it's amazing how much traffic that's getting and how much of these empty trucks are banging and just waking people up in the middle of the night. You know, so I would appreciate that. And I appreciate these Zoom meetings too. It's really nice. So thank you.
Okay. Ron's iPhone. Nothing. Sam Iannucci, anything?
I do have a few things. Good evening. Sam Iannucci, president, Chester Heights Fire Company, 222 Llewellyn Road. I guess I want to start off by apologizing. I guess ever since we've been limited to the Zoom meetings, we've lost the communications. It seems like some communications between fire company activities, fire company reports, and maybe communicating that to council. I received an email, I guess, a couple of weeks ago from Dave, who forwarded to me from Laura about some information requested. And I've sent some of that information to both Dave and Laura. Hopefully that answered a lot of your questions. One of them was, do we provide a yearly report to council? We were emailing yearly reports to Philip Block and Susan, and monthly reports. Obviously, they've gotten lost in the transition of the new council members, so you should start to receive them, Dave and Sue. If anybody has questions about the yearly report, I emailed it to Sue the last 2 years. Essentially, our calls are up. Call volume is up. Summit, you remember when Summit was proposed, that assisted living facility, they said there wouldn't be many calls there. Well, we've already been there probably 10 times since they opened, some for multiple fire alarms. A number of people have fallen and gotten hurt. So it is starting to tax maybe some of our fire service in a way that when it was proposed, they said we wouldn't get any calls. So that's one thing. As far as the storm tomorrow, you heard Trooper Tobin mention trees and wires. We are going to staff the fire company tomorrow, so we will have a staff there. Everyone knows that, or maybe you don't know, Chester Heights seems to become an island in these storms, whether it's snow or rain, and we're really left to fend for ourselves. So we will hopefully have two crews in station tomorrow starting probably around 8 o'clock in the morning. It may be earlier. So if there's an emergency, we'll be able to respond in an expedient manner. We won't need to have members respond from home to get to the firehouse. Like to remind the public that, you know, a lot of trees and wires do come down in Chester Heights. It seems like the residents of Chester Heights or our residents like to drive or go around the wires or under the wires. We found that most times these wires are still hot or active. it's a sure way to end your life. So we would try to remind the residents, and maybe Gina, you could put something out on Facebook stuff tonight to tell residents, if a wire comes down or a tree, you know, they should stay 50 foot away from it. It travels along guardrails and stuff. So that's that. You've noticed some work being done around the firehouse. We replaced the front window in the borough office. That was leaking. So we had that replaced. So hopefully that does something. On the left-hand side or the right-hand side of the firehouse, the borough side, we had a contractor come in and remove what we feel as though was our right-of-way, the bamboo that was encroaching on our property. It had encroached again. We have an underground propane tank there that services the generator. It was encroaching that. So we went through an expense of having that removed and had a barrier put down, and we stoned that. We've done that. Hopefully that will alleviate that for some time. And on the other side of the firehouse, there was a piece of grass that was just becoming very difficult. It wasn't appealing. We're going to put a small little wall there with some rock, a rock garden, to try and spruce that up for the borrower, for us. A couple financial things for the fire company that have worked out well since we've last talked in January. We were the recipient of an Energy Transfer First Responder Fund grant in the amount of $20,503. We had applied for $75,000, but when COVID hit, we had to modify the grant because they tried to extend that out to a number of departments. What that grant allowed us to buy was three new gas meters that can detect various gases, carbon dioxide, and whatnot, an air pack filling station for our station, and some new particulate hoods that I don't say they guarantee that you're not going to get cancer, but they refine the particles around the person's head and face, where studies have shown those breathing particles come into your body. So it's that. We also applied for a FEMA grant in the amount of $25,000. We're waiting to hear from that. We're in, I guess, the second phase. They asked us to provide some environmental stuff about that. The grant was for a washer dryer. They just want to see that we have the space for it. So we're hopeful that we get that. I know that $25,000 seems like a lot for a washer dryer. It's not your normal washer dryer as you would for the home. So we burned out probably two or three of them. We've also applied for a COVID grant through the state. This was supposed to be a non-applicant grant when it first came out by Governor Wolf through the State Department, Fire State Department. They later changed it to federal funds. So we've made that application. The amount is for $15,000. So we'll have to see. It's really, we had to submit some bills of that we're paying that we normally didn't pay for stuff. Fortunately, with COVID, we've been able to, we've only had one member that contracted it. He didn't get it while he was with us, but he did get it. He recovered from it, thankfully. We've been dealing with that. Some of the things that we do, we have protocols in place. On medical calls, we are not being dispatched. We are no longer being dispatched per the health organization unless needed. And that's due to there's a limited supply of PPE. If there's an active COVID case, one paramedic goes in with full PPE stuff, and that's to limit the exposure. If we're needed, then we're called, and the ambulance will give us one or two suits for our guys to put on. But what we're doing as added precaution is we're no longer at the firehouse every day like we normally do. Our meetings are via Zoom. When we get back from calls, we go through a 10-minute spray of all of our equipment to decontaminate it or sterilize it. And each of our members, while they're on the truck, must wear a mask at all times. So that's what we've done there. I don't think I have anything else. I think that I sent the financial reports to Dave for the first quarter. I think what we need to do is schedule a meeting for sometime in August. We will have our second quarter financials to review them. I know there are a number of new council members that may not understand how we do our budget and our finances. So it might be a good opportunity for all the new members maybe to attend, and we can review our long-range plan and the financial statements that that we prepare quarterly and meet quarterly with the members of that fire board. In the past, it was Drew, Steve, and Philip. Now I think it's Dave, Drew, and I'm not sure who's on it. So if we could get that scheduled for sometime in August, I think it would go a long way in, you know, maybe people understanding where our finances are. We're in fairly good shape, I'd like to say. So that's it.
Sam, I think that's a good idea for as many council members that are able to attend that Zoom meeting. So I can talk to you about this week. Maybe send an email out to gain interest on what days or possible weeks are better than others for most council members. We can come up with an alternate date.
Is there anybody else in the public that I've missed? All right, Jerome, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, John, Darren, Nicholas, Trooper Tobin, thank you so much for staying with us, and we look forward to seeing you all again.
Thanks, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Have a good night.
Thank you for your time, you too.
Be safe.
Okay, moving forward, we have the approval of the meeting minutes from July 6, 2020. Do I have any comments, questions, or concerns in regards to those minutes?
Yeah, the only question I had is under the construction inspections section. It said no report. In fact, we did have a discussion about doing some analysis of building inspection process, and it wasn't in the minutes.
Okay, so we can approve these minutes tonight, and Susan, we can add your revision next meeting. Does that sound applicable for you? Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Do I have a motion? I'm sorry. Anyone else have any comments, questions, or concerns? Okay. With that in mind, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for a regular council meeting of July 6, 2020?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, moving forward, we have the July Treasurer's Report. On that report, we have receipts in a total of $244,036.12. We have expenditures in the amount of $36,797.32. I would like to point out, if anyone has not seen, under receipts, we have the real estate transfer tax from the sale of Arbor Square. I think that was an easy one to pick out. Do we have any questions, comments, or concerns in regards to the Treasurer's Report for July 2020?
I just had an observation, even when I was looking at the numbers versus budget, is that some of these large real estate transfers have a big impact on transfer tax. I'm wondering, is there a way to create a subledger for the larger property transactions so we can see them, and it'll be easier to budget and compare year to year? Do you know what I'm saying, Fred? He's on mute.
Gotcha. What was your question again?
I was wondering if there is some way to make a subcategory for when some of these larger properties have real estate transfer tax, so it's easier to see when you're doing budgeting or looking at past historicals.
So you,
go ahead.
So look, because you're breaking up when I'm hearing you. So if I'm hearing you right, You want the reports to include who the sales were from?
Well, I don't know that it's necessary to put all of them in because there's a lot of little ones, but these bigger ones tend to skew the numbers from year to year.
I'm just wondering
if there's a way to break them out to make it easier to budget for once you can pull out the large one-offs. And also when you're going back in time to compare numbers. But, I mean, that's something maybe you and Sue Timmons could discuss.
Yeah, a lot of times, as you know, these transfers, we don't know exactly when they're going to happen. So when you're doing a budget, you're not sure when you do the budget when they're going to come in, nor do you know necessarily what the sales amount's going to be either. So, we may not have this kind of flow again for another couple of years, or we may have it again next year. I couldn't tell you.
We had Madison sold twice, and even there was a certain Wawa property that sold, and I'm just wondering if there's a way to split those out. I'm not saying we need to solve it here, but it's just a suggestion.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do. I mean, when we get to do the budget for next year, we'll try and identify potential large transfers and see if we can accommodate that.
Well, I'm not so much thinking about budgeting large transfers because they're very difficult to predict. What I was thinking was to know in looking back how much is normal and how much is unusual so that you can budget forward. That's all.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll certainly take a look at it. I mean, I have a breakdown of what that was all about.
Okay.
So. All right.
Okay, any further Thank questions you. Or comments on the Treasurer's Report for July 2020? With that in mind, do I have a motion to approve the Treasurer's Report for July 2020?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, moving forward, up next we have correspondence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be brief as soon as I find where I wrote it all down. Obviously, we've had many communications from the county and from the state regarding COVID-19, many of which I have forwarded either via social media or constant contact. There was a request to put all 75 years of Chester Heights minutes on the website. And we did receive an official communication from the Chester Heights Fire Company that moving forward, they will be unable to host elections. Also are in discussions with the Board of Elections, and it seems to be most likely we'll be back at the Garnet Valley Middle School at least for the next election that we have coming up. And that's it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Gina. Moving forward on the agenda, item number 4, inspectors' reports. Rich Jensen, could I pass this off to you for a building inspector report?
Yes. The last month, the last 4 units in Brookfield, permits were issued for. There were 2 plumbing permits, 1 roof permit, and 1 demo permit for an old barn. Now, a little earlier, Susan made a comment that there was no report last month. I sent a report in. I try to send something in every month. And in an email from her today, she wanted detailed reports. So on the plumbing, one of these was a water system. I'm wondering if she wants to know how many feet of copper line was run and what grade copper it was. I don't know. How much more detail than you issue a roof permit you would want, okay? 4 building permits for new housing units is pretty much straightforward unless you want to know the square footage of each unit. That's all I have. There's nothing before zoning except for the possibility of the 104-106 Baltimore Pike. That's going to need some type of use variance or special exception. and that's really up to council. The other one, 103 Valley Brook, I'm not sure where that's going to go at this point. There's a lot of unknowns. And that's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Moving forward, we have Fire Marshal Report. Mr. Sciocco, how are you tonight?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. There were five incidents last month that required my looking into, two of which was Summit Hill. I spoke with the head of maintenance at Summit Hill. There's been an individual in the memory care unit that's been pulling the pull stations, setting off the fire alarms. I had a long conversation with the head of maintenance, and I asked him, told him what to install some shields. They have shields that go around the pull stations. And because I told them that I also issued, I said that the next fire, false alarm, that he would be fined. Summit Hill would be fined. We've been there on several occasions. So just thought I'd drop that line off to you. The other thing is behind Skateworks, which is right around 16 Smith Bridge Road. It's becoming a dump site. There's abandoned cars. There's concrete, big slabs of sidewalks back there. There's retaining walls, concrete retaining walls material. There's all kinds of brush and shrubs, and that's where we had the big fire there on July 7th. Now, I sent the owner, Mr. Zepka, Z-E-P-K-A, and he owns... Impact, I-M-P-A-C-T, which owns Skateworks. But all the material is behind Skateworks. I'm going to send Matt Hoopman, if you're listening, some pictures. There's there's several truckloads, over a dozen truckloads of dirt. And the dirt has a slight petroleum smell to it. It appears that they're using this area back in there, dumping, like if someone was to remove, say, a tank out of the ground, they're dumping that soil back in there.
Oh, lovely. But,
so I don't know if we should contact the DER in regards to this site, but it's totally everything's back there. It's really becoming a... What I'm afraid of is this guy, he pulls up stakes and he moves the thornberry and leaves the site like that, all contaminated.
Do you have contact info for this guy, Mike?
Mr. Zepka? Yeah, he doesn't return any. I have his email and everything, but he doesn't return. He doesn't seem to be returning anything.
Have you sent any formal letters?
I did. I sent the first letter in regards to the fire that we had there.
That was in July?
Yes.
This July?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right. That was on July the 9th.
9th?
Yeah, July 9th at 3:15 p.m. There was a fire there, a huge fire. Larry was there for hours. I mean, this was 95 degrees out there, and he just poured water on it for hours, and then went back at 7 o'clock at night and poured more water on it.
Breaking walls?
I'm sorry, what?
Breaking any walls?
Got to take a look at it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if, I know Trooper Tobin said they're in the best position, maybe if they're not responding, send a trooper over there to do something, but I think we need to identify what specifically that's not in compliance with our laws or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I'm just concerned of like stormwater runoff with all these big truckloads of material back there. There's black soil and dark soil. There's There's creosote ties back there, railroad ties. I have no idea what they're doing back there. It seems like, you know, he's just turning it into some kind of a dump site.
You say there's abandoned cars, too?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a, I believe it's a 55 Chevy back there. There's a couple of trucks back there.
And this Zepka, he owns the property?
Yes, I'm not really sure who, it might be Calvin, it used to be Calvin Powell's property. So I don't know if, Mr. Zepka, his business is across the street where behind Conrad's business in one of them little offices. And then Scapeworks, who does landscaping, and they do sprinkler systems, for the lawn sprinklers,
mm-hmm.
and what do you call those? The ponds and stuff.
Right.
It seems like every place they go and tear stuff out is ending up in their backyard.
Well, we need to go in and we got to find out who the property owner is, send certified letters, and then if not, send them to the judge if they're in violation. But
okay. I just wanted to bring that. I was really concerned over.
Property owner is Calvin Powell. Okay. That's part of that that land development.
Really?
Yeah. Mike, if you can send me and Rich whatever information you have, and then we'll follow up on it.
Okay, I'll send you some pictures.
Larry, did you say Calvin Powell's property?
Yes, it is.
It's
my father's old estate, and Calvin bought the property. So
it's now in Calvin's estate.
It is Calvin's property now.
Okay.
Calvin's estate.
All right. Thanks.
Is this the property, Larry, where Trucks Unlimited used to have their business?
Yes.
Okay. And the metal building?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's it.
Mike, thank you so much. Okay, moving forward, we have Emergency Management Coordinator, Roadmaster. Larry, please.
We basically have had an uptick on PA1 calls. All of them have been cleared. The water main that Aqua's been extending along Bodley Road looks to be completed. They were flushing it the other day, and there's a loop that basically comes all the way around Crozierville Road through the industrial park. And it comes up Bodley Road and then comes up King's Drive to Bishop's and makes that a loop as well. So, I mean, it does increase our capacity. However, there's still only one main that comes up Lenai Road. I mean, they did do improvements to that a couple of years back. But, you know, Aqua basically still only has one main that comes from, Pennell Road or 452 up Lenai Road and into our area. So, but they are making improvements. We've had some trees fall, as you were noticing on a bill list with Springfield Tree. We did have another tree fall during a storm on Ivy Lane that blocked the entire roadway. The state police called us, and PICO said basically it didn't touch any of their wires, so they weren't responsible. So we did have the fire company cleared as much as they could, and then Springfield Tree came back the next day and cleared up the rest of it. As you heard, fire company say they will be staffing for tomorrow's tropical storm. So the emergency center hasn't opened, but may open during the storm if necessary. So other than that, no further business.
Larry, thank you. Rich, I believe you went over zoning in your report. Is there anything else you have to add?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
There's nothing really in as far as looking for variance, and depending on where Baltimore Pike property is going to go. This thing probably should go started with planning and with LED lights, the one thing, and I lost internet connection at that point, is the glow off of this building. So the board, if they're considering it, may want to think about, you know, how they're going to handle the lighting.
Okay.
Okay.
Rich, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, moving forward, up in the agenda next, we have solicitor's report.
Thank you.
Jerry, can I pass that to you, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President and Council. I'd like to ask Council to consider the adoption of Resolution 820A. It's Atlanta Heights Recycling Day on Saturday, September 26, 2020, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Chester Heights Community Park. And it would be the recycling day for the residents, for electronic, drop off of electronics, clothing, household items, and paper for shredding, and will, as I said, be available to residents in Chester Heights. So I ask that Council consider the adoption of the resolution tonight.
Thank you, Jerry. Do I have a motion to approve the recycling resolution 820-A?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved.
No other matters other than, conferring, I ask Council for the applicants, some comments from Matt and Rich Jensen on these two applications.
Okay, Jerry, thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have engineer's report. Matt?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple things. One, there has been some interest by Conrad's people to install the walking trail around the athletic field at Chester Heights Park. We put them on hold because I think we're trying to expand that trail a little bit further into the woods. Laura and I met last Wednesday, I guess it was, and we walked through around the field and through the woods where we thought it would be an appropriate place to have a walking trail and to get a little more length with it. The next step was I was going to go back to the site with some survey lath and ribbon and kind of drive in stakes maybe every 50 feet that, Laura and anybody on Borough Council, if they want to walk, they could, follow the trail and make any suggestions on whether it should be further, you know, refined or relocated. So we hope to get that done in the next week or a little over a week. There was also discussion, Laura, should we talk about the survey of the park equipment?
Yes. Even though this is, I apologize, this is a park survey proposal. So it kind of goes into the parks committee, but basically, the parks committee, has had discussions with Matt Hoopman, and what we'd like to do is have him provide us an ADA compliant topographic survey of the playground so we can go ahead and proceed to start working with vendors and understanding prices and gathering prices to replace the playground equipment and add new playground equipment to the existing area. And we can't proceed without Matt providing the ADA compliant requirements from an engineering standpoint. So that's why we have on there the park survey proposal.
And I did not get a written proposal to Laura before tonight's meeting, but we roughed out the numbers, and we were coming up with about $2,700 to $3,000 to do a detailed topographic survey of the park area and the area around the park area, and then provide it to the vendor who might be supplying the equipment, and then have coordination with them in terms of establishing grades and making sure it was ADA compliant. So. I can put that in writing and get it to Borough Council, tomorrow or the following day, if they so choose.
I think we can call for a motion to approve that expenditure. Are you pretty confident, Matt, not to exceed $3,000, or should we make that amount slightly higher?
No, the $3,000 will cover it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the expenditure not to exceed $3,000 for Hootman Engineering to do a topo park survey?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Uh-oh. Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved.
All right, on the agenda I have, the next issue was an MS4 update. Over the last few months, we've been back and forth with DEP, as Borough Council may recall. It was a while ago that we had submitted our PRP, or pollutant reduction plan, that sat at their desk at DEP for a little bit, but they have looked at it, and that map outlines drainage areas to municipal facilities or to municipal roads. And the more area that that is covered in the PRP plan, of course, has cost impact to the borough. So there's a little push-pull. We're trying to minimize that area in the best interest of the borough, and DEP is trying to expand it because they want as much work done for pollution reduction as possible. So I think we're nearing completion where that mapping will be okay with DEP. But the next step is probably behind schedule on this now, especially with COVID, is to prepare a very specific plan, not a general plan like we had in the original PRP plan, but identified exactly where the borough is going to have the effort to reduce sediment and nitrogen loading in the streams. So we'll probably need to specify maybe reworking of some of the stormwater management basins in the borough or doing some stream bank stabilization work. But it just can't be general. It has to be very specific at this point in time. So again, I need to finalize that plan and then send it to Borough Council for discussion with them and input from them.
And that, what is the deadline on that again?
It's a rolling deadline. You're supposed to get done, I think, 20% of the PRP plan at the end of year five, which is probably, I think, 1.5 to 2 years away from today.
I was going to ask if there would be any relaxing of that deadline because of COVID, but with 1.5 to 2 years, probably not.
Yeah, well, there still might be. I mean, it's awfully hard. It's hard to go on people's property and do inspections, you know, with everybody's a little bit conscious, and it's hard to trek through the woods with masks on, too.
Matt, along with that plan, do you expect to have a budget or a cost? I assume we'll need that for our budget for next year.
No, absolutely, yes. Yeah, that'll be part of it.
Okay. Great. All right, Matt, thank you. Anything else for us?
No, not unless any borough council has any other questions.
Any questions for Matt? Okay, Matt, thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have mayor's report up on the agenda next. Fred, do you have anything for us tonight?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a report, and I'll make it as brief as I can. I've been participating in the food distribution program only one day, though. We had a broke finance committee meeting in which we discussed the 2020 budget and year versus actual. I'll report on that a little bit later. And then I was involved with Councilwoman Lynn and Eric from the playground equipment installer. We discussed a layout at the park. We also talked to Matt while on the phone at one point while we were out in the park. But I gather Matt and Laura got together another day later. So and I have a couple inquiries from residents. One resident was asked if we could put a new lid on the trash can at the park. I'll have to talk to Sue to see where we got that equipment before. I'm not sure where that came from. But that means that we can do that. The resident also asked for a message board to be installed at the park, which would contain information about what's going on at the park or what's going on in the borough. I didn't see any reason why we couldn't do that. So I would bring it up here. I had a suggestion for an Eagle Scout project to maybe do some landscaping around the sign at Llewellyn Road, at the Borough Park there at Llewellyn Road and Valley Brook. I think that would be great. I know Laura Lynn had put some nice flower pots out there, but maybe we should do something a little bit more permanent around that. Then I had a couple, I had a request from a couple residents about the Delaware County Board of Assessment letter that we got. And it was a little confusing because of the standard rates and the special rates and so on. I don't know if everybody understands that, but it suggested that they the resident talk to Chris Quinn's office and see if they had an explanation. Has anybody else got any suggestions on that?
There's some information on the Delaware County website that might help to explain it to people.
Yeah, I think they looked there, but there didn't explain what their questions were. So there was no answer. You know, there's no one to call that could help them directly.
Right.
There was a really good explanation by the superintendent of Garnet Valley. I sent that out with some editorial comments from me on Constant Contact back in January, and then again when these letters came out. So if you have the contact information for that resident, I can certainly forward them that email. It's a really good explanation. I take no credit for it. Superintendent Bertrando explained it really, really well.
Okay. I'll forward that to you.
Okay.
Thank you. And that one other question, one other resident asked about a list of borough historical sites, and I think Sue probably has a list of that. So I will.
Finding that down. There's somebody like.
That's my report, and appreciate the time.
Mayor Wood, thank you. Okay, moving forward to committee reports, we have school district education library. Susan?
Mary Kay is going to report.
Hi, thank you all. As you know, and thank you for that comment too. Dr. Bertrand, who tries really hard to communicate. As you know, this has been an extremely difficult time. And we had a Zoom meeting last week with over 600 participants. We unveiled the Garnet Valley School District Health and Safety Plan to reopen the schools. We followed the guidelines and guidance recommendation mandates from Pennsylvania Department of Education, Pennsylvania Department of Health, the Chester County Department of Health, Governor's Office, as well as the community's input. So what we came up with was a hybrid learning option. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, and I know the night is getting long. So basically, students will have the option of in-person, where they will attend every other day and then have a virtual day on Friday. They also have an online synchronous, which will be live streamed. They can attend all classes virtually. And then they also have an option of doing e-school format, which is asynchronous. We're trying to give, it's not perfect, but we're trying to give parents the options and also keep students safe. So what Mark Bertrando has done is he has the website set up with frequently asked questions. If you have more answers, I would suggest go to the website if you can't find an answer to your question. Please go ahead and ask it. It brings up issues with childcare. There's so many different scenarios, but we're hoping that this works out. We're going to keep this plan until October 9th and then see where we go. You know, if something changes, if the numbers, COVID numbers go up, anything is subject to change. But hopefully this will at least give us a plan going forward. Thanks for all your help.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Susan, anything else to add?
Nothing more.
Okay, thank you. Moving forward, finance, insurance, Mayor Wood.
Yeah. I have budget versus actual report to go over. Does everybody have a copy of that? I'm just going to kind of highlight it because there's a lot of information on it. But essentially, we have $615,534.83 in income since January through the end of July. Our budget was only for $339,780.74. Most of that increase was because of the sale of Summit, but a smaller portion was also Chester Heights Storage was sold as well. And Susan, to your point, those were the two significant items that were collected in the transfer tax. There's one other item on income. Our income from interest is much lower than we predicted, and that's a lot to do with the drop in the interest rate since the first of the year. Expenses, get that. Expenses are a little bit over budget. We had $326,151.15 in expenses versus a budget of $311,591.93. Some of these items in here, we got several invoices from 2019 that ended up being paid in 2020. And that was in the animal control area, animal control. And then the Rachel Cole Library, we did a 2019 match for the library for their HVAC. And so those were two significant dollars. That's my report. Is there any questions? Thank you, Mr. President. I have no further report.
Thank you, Mayor Wood. Okay, moving forward, fire company finance. Dave, anything?
I just wanted to say thank you to Sam Iannucci for getting us that information via email. I totally agree that the communication there has been lacking. I think new committees and some new council members that came in January and then quickly got hit with COVID. It's been a difficult transition for everyone, but the information was very helpful. I'll go back and talk to Laura and the rest of the finance team, but I believe we have what we need and we're in a good position. So I just wanted to say thank you to Mr. Iannucci.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Staying with you for nominating vacancy.
Nothing to report.
Gene, anything for communications, public relations?
Working hard on the newsletter. Content is due August 20th. And again, anybody who wants to participate in suggesting content or writing content, I'm all ears.
Great. Thank you very much. Mayor Wood, back to you with the Mayor's Event Committee.
I haven't had any new information on that. We're still waiting for COVID to kind of open up a little bit more so that we could do something more. But I've been talking with Gina Ellis about some events, and we're trying to do some historical events. So I think she's got a great plan for the newsletter, which I'll let her talk about if she chooses.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Wood. Okay, moving forward, planning, zoning. Susan?
There was no meeting last month because there was nothing on the agenda.
Okay, Susan, staying with you for engineering, construction, inspections?
I mean, I do have a report. It's late, so I'm going to hit the high points and send the email out to council since Rich was kind enough to stay.
Okay.
There was a request at the last meeting to take a look at the building inspection process, and so I was trying to just start a little more basic. I went out to our website and start out by saying that in our own borough code, we have two chapters with regards to construction. One is Chapter 61, where we are basing our code on the Boca National Building Code of 1990. And then Chapter 77 says that we're going to follow the Uniform Construction Code that's contained in Pennsylvania Code. I'm not sure how these overlap or don't overlap, so that's a follow-up question for me to answer. I did happen to notice that the last Boca National Building Code was published in 1999, so another question I would have is, should we update that?
There is no more Boca Code.
So we never...
The Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code replaced any code that you had prior, unless it was more restrictive and you identified it particularly in your adopting ordinance for the PAUCC. So you're now on the international code. You've been on the international code since 2004.
Okay.
So the ordinance, there's a lot of things within the borough ordinance that need either be scrapped, removed, or updated. Okay.
Okay, that's why I was. That's what I was asking about. They seem to overlap or be at odds with each one another. So maybe a recommendation is that we have to remove that chapter from our borough code, right? I'll talk with Jerry about it. Okay.
No, that's fine.
Susan, maybe you could set a time up to talk to Rich to see what items are no longer viable so that we're able to revise our ordinances.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of Rich, so we'll try to get together and talk about it.
Okay, very good.
So I did a little analysis. I thought if I was a resident and I went out to our website, what would I find about inspections? And I found a number of things. Some of them are picayune, and I won't go through them, but I will send them to everybody and ask, I guess, primarily Sue Timmons to clean things up. But one thing I did find is that there's two places where you launch a document. The tab comes up as Chatsford Township. So I think that's odd that our website is referencing Chatsford Township, and that should be cleaned up. It also says in one of the passages that Chester Heights has to license master electricians, which I don't think we do, so that needs to be corrected. I'm a little unclear on the number of the resolutions that are launched. Natalie, you know, you and I had some questions about what was launched versus what was effective. And then the sewer permit application launches a 1997 PA DEP application, and I believe that form was updated in 2005. So another thing is, under that section of our website, the open records request form is included, and I just didn't understand why that was under permits and inspections. So I'll send this to everybody and ask Sue to kind of work on the website items. Other items to consider, evaluate, or question further is, Rich Jensen acts as our code enforcement officer, and he does not get directly compensated for that, so that's something to consider. He does get a quarterly gas stipend, and I think also the fire marshal does, and I just, more of a question I have is, when and why was this implemented, and is it relevant today? And then, Rich, I had asked you approximately, have any idea about how many hours a week you spend on Chester Heights business?
Well, I don't get paid by the hour, but if I did, I would probably be generating more than what I'm getting.
What I was trying to do was I was trying to benchmark what you get compensated for in that to a benchmark that we have. That's all.
Well, what's the benchmark that you have?
It's
my agreement with the borough was when I took over and there was obsolete permit forms, there was no electrical inspection, things were just a total mess. And I was brought in under a lawsuit when I took over, they told me compensation was 50% of the permit. So that's what I stayed with. Okay. Hourly, I would say I'm not working 18 hours a day anymore. I've stopped that, but I work about 60 to 70 hours a week. And I would say if I were to split it, it's about a third. I do three towns. They each demand that. I start at 4:30 in the morning. It's like 9 o'clock. You're like 3 hours past my bedtime.
Sorry about that.
Well, I mean, I'm up early because construction's up early.
Right.
So my normal routine is I'll go to Birmingham first, Edgemont or Chester Heights second, depends on who's on the inspection schedule, and then back, okay? And I average anywhere from 100 to 200 miles a day. So since I've been working in Chester Heights, I'm on my third vehicle. So you have to mix all that in. Now, the bigger jobs I make a whole lot of money on, but like I did a deck today. I had 2 hours round trip on that single inspection, okay? So what I get paid on a deck is about $100. I got to do the plan review, the administration. I have to do the footing inspection and then the final and then the paperwork to go out, okay? So I probably have 5 hours in a deck. So I lose money on all those little jobs.
And but that's great. That's why I wanted to get a
sense. Bigger jobs pick that up.
Right.
So it remains kind of level. And it's that way in every town.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it was that way in Chaz Ford for, I guess I was there 25 years, okay? So it's always the same. You cannot create a fee schedule or try to charge to cover each and every little thing.
Right. Okay? I think I can help you out here, okay, because I'm a person that does math. So what I said to myself is if you spend 20 hours a week on Chester Heights Matters and I took your average net compensation for 3 years, okay, and figured out that your hourly compensation is about $69 an hour. Now, we have a benchmark of $68 an hour that Chad's Ford pays, and your number includes the code enforcement, which we don't directly compensate you for. So what I'm trying to say is I feel like what you did is comparable.
Well, you know, here's a funny thing. Chad Ford pays Keystone, okay, $68 or $69 an hour. They even charge for filing the permits, okay? Now, you're talking about code enforcement. We don't really have much code enforcement in Chester Heights. We've had a few over the years, but very few. Chester Heights is a very small borough. And over the last couple years, they've had two enormous projects, Arbor Square and Wawa Corporate, okay? Now, for me at Wawa Corporate, I knocked that permit fee down. I probably left $20,000 on the table because I didn't charge enough for that. So you do the math, and they charge $68 for Keystone at Chad's Ford. I know when I took over Birmingham, they were $20,000 in the red. So Chester Heights has been in the black. Birmingham's in the black. Edgemont's well in the black. So
I was just trying to, I think people were concerned about what it was costing, and I was just trying to tie it to something to just prove that it was a reasonable amount. So,
well, some of our permit fees end up being too high. Some of the littler ones they're a little too low, but you're never going to get it perfect.
Right.
It should balance out. And if it doesn't, I usually say something, okay? If I were really smart, I'd make all the heater permits in all three towns exactly the same amount so I don't have to look them up.
All right. And then Natalie took a look at our permit fees, and they are comparable to Chad's board's fees. So,
You probably need to look at a number of towns, okay? Chad's board's fee schedule, I know, has been updated, but I wrote that, okay? And the reason you probably have documents from Chad's board, they probably came with me and in transition going on your website. They just, you know, inadvertently remained as Chad's board.
Okay. Well, I have more, but I'm thinking given the late hour, we can put it off to the work session, assuming that we're going to have one. Is that fair?
Sure. I think it's fair.
Rich, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No.
Okay.
If I may comment, it sounds like, and Susan, I'm not sure if I'm putting words in your mouth or if I misinterpreted a couple things you said. It sounds like Rich is not being fully compensated for some of either the smaller permits or some of the code enforcement work and time that he spends at the borough. Is that?
Well, no, I think if overall his hourly rate is comparable to Keystone. But, you know, he did bring up that Keystone charges for other things. The code enforcement is not really a big part of his time. So, that's why I think we need to talk some more about whether we go, you know, how far we go with this analysis.
Sure. Okay, Susan, anything else? I'm going to stay with you for ordinance and code review.
Well, some of the things I brought up, we'll have to clean up that BOCA code one.
Yes. Great, thank you. Okay, moving forward, public safety, no report. Public safety, police protection, no report. Borough property, open space. Laura, can I pass that off to you? Please.
I apologize. I lost my mouse for a second. I will make this very brief. Obviously, with the motion not to exceed for Matt Hootman for $3,000. It's out of the Parks Committee discussion now that President Baum has tasked the Parks Committee to look at the park and potentially get an estimate to replace the park equipment. The current park equipment is only for ages 5 to 12. And we would like to completely replace that equipment and then add a new section for 2 to 5-year-olds. And there'll be lots more discussion in council meetings, but I don't want to go into it so it's so late. But I think that's really exciting for council, and I think it's exciting for the community. And I hope this is something that everybody can get behind and support. The key thing that President Baum asked me to look into was to do the legwork to get the estimates and work with the playground vendors and the playground equipment installer so we can get estimates so we can go after a couple grants that are opened up right now. And so the finance committee can budget any matching in the next year's budget. So that's the plan. There's a lot of moving parts, but I wanted to fully disclose what's going on in the parks committee because it's really exciting, and I hope everybody can get behind it. It's going to be a very pretty park when it's all done.
Great, Matt. I have one question for you. On that topo, is that going to show existing and proposed elevations as per ADA requirements in the playground area?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the lengthy answer, Matt. It's getting late. Okay, Laura, anything else?
Not until we get to public utilities.
Okay, moving forward, highways, transportation. Dave?
Real quick, I know there are a couple comments from the public about the speeding and the speed radar signs. I just want you guys to know that we've heard you. We are addressing it. We're working with Higgins to get the new speed radar signs installed on both Lenai and Llewellyn Road. We're also looking at, we're also working with PennDOT to try and determine when exactly we're going to be on scheduling for the paving for Llewellyn Road and Lenai Road due to the increased truck traffic. It's taken a little bit longer than normal. Again, I think things are just slower in general with COVID, but we are on track and hope to see at least the speed radar signs up in the next couple of months here.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, moving forward, Laura, back to you with public utilities, trash, recycle.
The biggest thing that I just want to let everybody know is that for Recycling Day, Solicitor Montello read, the resolution is for September 26th. And one of the things that I just wanted to let council know is that our initial DEP request for e-waste was denied. And it was because they requested that I create a COVID precautionary plan to execute at the Chester Heights Community Park. So I did that for about a day and a half, and I got their approval. And the way that I drafted it, it was off of Governor's Wolf yellow and green criteria. So depending on how we go from green, currently we're in green, if we go back to yellow, the borough is still allowed to execute Recycling Day on September 26th. It's just limited by 25 people in the park. So I have put a proposal up to DEP and they approved it. So that's exciting for us, so we can continue on Recycling Day and all the vendors, even if we go back to yellow. Just want to let everybody know that. It's an opportunity for the borough to come out and get rid of all the items that they've collected for Goodwill. So just wanted to put that out there that I've earmarked all the council folks to be volunteers that day. So if you're unavailable, please let me know, because you're part of my number that I've included. So if you're not available on the 26th from 2 to 4, I'm going to go ahead and add that to the numbers when I go and seek for volunteers. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Okay, moving forward, old business. Do we have any old business?
I just, we had said at our last meeting we were going to go over the sewer plan at the work session. Now we didn't have a work session meeting, so can we get it on the agenda for the next work session?
Yes.
Sewer map, excuse me.
Correct. Mike Sciocco had sent that out. There were a couple properties that we identified that were not on there. Mike was still in transition to get those on the map. So hopefully by the work session of the next meeting, he will have those properties added to the map, so it's more accurate than what it was. Okay, any further old business? Okay, new business. Do we have any new business tonight? Okay, with no new business, we have an additional period for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
Oh, let's go down. Sam Iannucci, anything?
I just have one thing. Mayor Wood, I know you mentioned about a sign. The fire company has been looking at and been pursuing putting an electronic sign up on our property by the driveway. I don't know whether the borough would be interested in maybe going in with us on that endeavor. It would serve both purposes, I guess, the borough and the fire company. Not sure whether you want to. Last time we priced one out, it was about $8,000. It was three lines. I know we were concerned when we spoke with Rich Jensen about the LED signs. I think there was something in the borough code about them. But I'll throw that out, that the fire company is still actively looking at putting a sign up. We ran electric out to that area when we put the new building up. So it would just be a matter of us picking out a sign together that could possibly save us both money and meet the needs of the borough.
I like that idea.
I'd be interested in pursuing that conversation further. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, Sam, I have a question for you, because Laura Lim and I asked if there was any chance that there was water out there so that if we put any plantings in around the sign, we would need water to keep our plantings from dying. Sam, you just... did you hear me?
He's on mute.
Well, hey, Fred, I can answer. There's a water meter pit out there, so I'm sure that something can be constructed down, you know, and taken off of that.
Okay.
You know, on the water meter pit.
Can we tap in behind the meter, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pit, so, you know, I don't care what side. I'm not going that way.
Okay.
You know, but there is a meter pit down there. So
well, that's good information. When we get to putting this plan together for the park there, we can talk about getting a permit or a proposal from a plumber to run a water line out.
To excavate that down and put a spigot or something down there. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Behind the meter, right?
Behind the meter.
Wherever. All right. Of course. Debbie Kern, do you have anything for public comment?
Nothing. Thank you for all your help.
Okay. iPhone 610, 420, 34, 63. Anything?
Larry, that's my mom.
Well, she can talk. I'm just going by the list.
But that's all right. Not thrilled. Living on Logtown Road, the traffic, I'd really like to see this further plan on what they're proposing for Ennis's old property. It just seems like there'd be a lot of traffic created on that corner. And there's already a lot of traffic on that, on Logtown, not Logtown, on Valley Brook Road, especially at early morning and through 3 o'clock to about 6:30 at night.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Marta, do you have anything?
No, nothing for me. Thank you.
Okay, JB Hatch. That's all that's on the list.
Okay, thank you, Larry. With that in mind, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you. Larry, thank you again.
No problem.
Thanks for your time.
Now, everybody go prepare for this hurricane. Jersey's preparing for a hurricane, so we have to prepare for all that rain.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night.